What would you do if you were up in your bedroom praying and you had a vision and you saw a large sheet coming down from heaven full of all kinds of beasts? Well, that's what happened to Peter. He was a Jew and was very careful not to touch anything unclean. He certainly believed that Christ, who was a Jew, died only for the Jews, but he was wrong. And as he saw the vision, a voice said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he answered, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unclean." And the voice said, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And while Peter was thinking about the vision, the Holy Spirit said, "Three men seek thee, arise and go with them, for I have sent them." And then the next day they started for Caesarea to meet Cornelius. And you know, I noticed as I read this, that this man was an army man. He was a captain, if you please, over 100 men in the Italian army. He was a devout man and feared God and prayed always. My, what a tribute. How many soldiers are like that today in our army? Thank God for fellows like those that you've just heard testify that are standing for the Son of God. And we're glad for that. And then as Peter approached, he saw the house packed to the doors, and Cornelius ran out to meet Peter and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And it says that Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." Yes, and if Peter were to come back to Rome today, he'd say the same thing. And as Peter approached the house, he said in verse 28, "Ye know how that it is unlawful a thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come into one of another nation." Now notice, "But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Here was the secret. All men were created equal. There is no difference. And I thank God that I can come to you over this nation, some living in the slums, you living in your penthouses in Riverside Drive, you elite of Boston, and you downtrodden others that are having a tough time of it. You southern gentlemen and women of the South, and the poor, you aristocrats of Philadelphia, and you who are cold and needy, all men are the same before God. And if I could get you to see that before a holy God, your life and my life and anyone's life is an open book, and we're all the same miserable sinners before God. And that's what God showed Peter. And he began to speak of this hymn singing as I thought and on this thing and read it. If I can but analyze this speech, I'll certainly know the rudiments, the essentials of salvation, so that I can pass a similar message on to you today. And as I studied this speech, I noticed first that Christ, that he came to preach, was supported. First by anointing Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then how he did good. He healed the sick and healed the oppressed, for God was with him. Here was his recommendation. Here was his support. I wonder just what miracles he told them about. He might have told them about the healing of the nobleman's son or the cleansing of the lepers. He might have told them of the stilling of the tempest and of the dramatic scene of Peter walking on the water. I imagine they were thrilled. Maybe he told them of blind Bartimaeus receiving his sight. I don't know. But anyhow, he made his point, and God was with him. And the next point Peter emphasized was that he was slain. He says, "They slew him and hanged him on a tree." I know it's gruesome, but it's true. They slew him and hanged him on a tree. Death is awful. Death makes more people think than anything else. This was essential for their salvation. Maybe he told them what a coward he was. Maybe he told them how the two thieves, one on each side of Jesus, died. Maybe he told them how Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Maybe he gave them part of his own epistle, namely 1 Peter 2:24, "Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness." Maybe he told them, "Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." But we know their hearts were touched and were moved with love toward the cross. And so I come to you in this 20th century, and I tell you of Calvary, that there 1900 years ago Jesus was nailed to the cross. And now whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. The thing is, will you come? A while back, a man by the name of Fred Haig walked down the streets of Indianapolis offering $10 bills for $1. The crowds gathered around him and thought he was crazy, offering $10 bills for $1. They thought there was something wrong somewhere, so the police were called and the man was arrested. But to the surprise of all, the bills were perfectly good certificates. And were the customers mad? Believe me, they certainly missed it. So today I offer you what seems to be a 10-to-1 bargain in exchange for that record of yours that's checkered and stained and marred and blackened and spoiled and spotted and smeared by sin, my friend. Listen to me. Regardless of how deep and how black, there's forgiveness through the one who was slain on Calvary for you. And as I studied Peter's sermon to the household of Cornelius, I found he next stressed that Christ was sanctioned. How is that, you ask? Peter said in verse 40, "God hath raised him up on the third day." Here was God's sanction or the seal of approval on his life and his death. God raised him from the grave. This never happened to Muhammad or Buddha or Zoroaster. No, sir. They were not raised from the grave. They were not deliberately sanctioned by God, but Jesus was. And that's what I like about this gospel message and the Bible that we have to stand by today. Then I noticed, besides being supported and slain and sanctioned, that Christ was securable, even to the Gentiles who were supposed to be unclean to the Jews. He said, as recorded historically in verse 43, "Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." That was the thing they wanted to know. Could they get in on the salvation too? In their hearts was a craving and a crying out of their souls for reality and religion. They didn't want formalism only. They wanted reality, and they got it. For Peter had hardly finished when it says his sermon was smashed up and the Holy Ghost fell on them. Salvation came full and free, not only to Cornelius, but to all his friends that he had invited along with him. Believe me, God stirred things that day. And today, a day that will never come again. Jesus says to you there by the radio, I quote him, he says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Are you longing for rest from your sin? Do you cry out at night when you are alone and long to be rid of your sin? Then I lovingly and gently point you to Jesus Christ and tell you that this wonderful Savior, Jesus, died for you, that you might have life eternal through his name. There by the radio today, will you accept him? Will you claim him as your own? Will you put your trust in him and say, "I want this Savior"? He'll bless you and save you right now if you let him do it.